Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our Old Testament reading in Jeremiah chapter 1. Well, as you all know, today is Super Bowl Sunday, and later on around 6:30, the game is set to kick off between the Patriots and the Rams. And you know, if you've heard anything about this game today, it's probably about the great disparity in experience between the Patriots and the Rams. We've all heard about Tom Brady already being in 9 Super Bowls and having won 5 of them. And his counterpart on the Rams, Jared Goff, he has no experience in the Super Bowl whatsoever. As a matter of fact, if you look at the players on the Rams, only 4 of them have ever been to a Super Bowl, 1 having been there twice. But Tom Brady then has more experience in the Super Bowl than all of the other players on the Rams put together. And, you know, the commentators are very quick to say, well, both teams are very, very good. But just the fact that they bring up this disparity in experience seems to demean the ability of the Rams to get the job done. And of course, this is not the first time we've heard about this kind of thing, this disparaging of experience and youth in our text for today. None other than the great Jeremiah, he says the same thing about himself. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." Of course, God wants to have nothing to do with that excuse. And so he says to Jeremiah, "Do not say that I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them." And of course, there's the key, fear. That's too often what we end up doing. That somehow we look at the opposition, we look at ourselves, and we are afraid to be able to do what God calls us to do, sometimes disparaging ourselves because of our inexperience or our youth or any other host of excuses that we can bring forward. But the fact of the matter is that God oftentimes chooses, particularly those who are inexperienced, those who are young, those who are somehow perceived as the weak, in order to do God's work. And so we think in the scriptures about this, and there was the speech-challenged Moses that God called to speak to Pharaoh, nonetheless, and to do his work. Of course, Moses objected, and God said, "Okay, fine, I'll give you Aaron to be your spokesman on your behalf." Or years later, we can think about the teenaged David, who then went on to the battlefield against the great and mighty warrior Goliath. And nobody thought that he would be able to win. And yet he did. Or in the New Testament, perhaps we can think about Timothy. Timothy, who was appointed to be the pastor of the rather sophisticated city church of Ephesus. And Paul wrote to him and said, "Do not let them despise your youth." Or, of course, then there's that passage in 1 Corinthians that we all know and refer to so often. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." And of course, that gives us the reason why God does this, so that we would not think that it is the human being that is so great, but rather we would recognize that it is the power of God that is at work in these things. And yet, still, we can doubt ourselves. Still, we can look at that which God calls us to do and make excuses that we don't think that we are able to do it. Have you ever found yourself there in that spot? Oh no, I don't think I can do that. And we have all kinds of excuses. I found myself in that very same spot many times, more times than I want to admit. Oh no, God, I can't possibly do that. And it's because we're afraid, right? Because we look at the obstacle, the challenge that is in front of us. We look at ourselves and we just say, I don't think I can do it. But the problem is, we're not looking at God, are we? But we're looking at the challenge, we're looking at ourselves. And yes, of course, when we look at it that way, we're going to doubt. But this passage encourages us instead to look to God. Because God is the one who can overcome. God is the one who can enable us. And so we turn to our text for today, and we see a great example of this in the great prophet Jeremiah. So if you have your bulletin in front of you, let me encourage you to take it out. We're going to run through it, and let me show you a few things there this morning. Verses 4 and 5, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and God says to him what? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Yeah, so there's three really important words there. New, consecrated, and appointed, the verbs. This is what God does. And all of those together then remind us of how valuable we are to God. Each and every person who is conceived, every life that comes into being is important, significant, and valued by God. Particularly talking about Jeremiah, then God says, I knew you. It's an important word. Because the word is not just, oh, hey, I knew about you. Like you might say, you know, I know about George Washington. You know, it's not that kind. But this is an intimate knowing. I know you. It's the word that is used about marital relationships, about husband and wife. Knowing somebody intimately, like you know nobody else. And that's the kind of thing that God is talking about. And he's talking about when I formed you in the womb. You know, this is our Creator talking about us. He's the one who forms us. He's the one who puts us together. I know you. Hey, and even before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that a pretty incredible thing? That God knows all about us and who we are. Even before we were formed in our mother's womb. And God says, I consecrated you. In other words, I set you aside for a purpose. Consecrated implies a sacred mission, a mission from God. I have something special for you to do. I have intentions for you. And I've appointed you in order to do certain things. And in the case of Jeremiah, he says, I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. It's not enough that you're a prophet to Israel, but you are a prophet to the nations. See, in talking about Jeremiah there, there's a very special thing that God has in mind, but it's also true of every single human being. God has each of you in mind before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, that he knew you, he consecrated you, and he appointed you. We've already talked about verses 6 and 7 and Jeremiah's objection to this, not thinking that he is capable. So let's go on to verse 8. There you find the promise of God. God says, don't be afraid, because I will be with you. And how often have we heard God say that to his people? Over and over again, every time he calls them and sends them, this is God's great promise. I will be with you. And even into the New Testament, God promises that to each of us of his children. Remember when he gave the Great Commission before he ascended into heaven. He said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And then finally, in verses 9 and 10, there's the gifting and the empowering. God reaches down and he touches Jeremiah. He touches his mouth and he puts his words in Jeremiah's mouth. You know, he's called him to be a prophet. Jeremiah, give you the words. So it's not that Jeremiah has to resource himself somehow, that God says, all right, go ahead, Jeremiah, and figure it out on your own how you're going to do this. No, God says, I will give you the very words that you are to speak. So he resources Jeremiah. It's kind of interesting that as we look at this text, it is, of course, about Jeremiah first. But it's about more than that as well. We remember Jesus one time talking to the Pharisees, and he said to them, you know, you search the scriptures about the Christ, and rightly so, because those are all about me. And that teaches us how to read the Old Testament. That the Old Testament is about Christ. It's not just about history. It's not just about stories of things that God has done. But it is about Christ. And that's the way that we want to read the Old Testament, so that we can know about what God is doing for our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so let's go back and read this text in that way today. And I think you're going to see it kind of starts exploding with meaning, because not only is it about Jeremiah, but it is about Jesus the Christ. And so it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. You know, and we start seeing then in this the relationship in the Trinity from eternity. The Father saying to the Son, before I formed you in Mary's womb, I knew you. The eternal relationship of the three persons of the Trinity being expressed there. I consecrated you. God having in mind our salvation and the plan of our salvation from before the time when Jesus was born. You know, this is in the plan and the mind of God, even from eternity. And I have appointed you, Jesus, to be prophet to the nations. It's not enough that you would be for Israel, for some people, but you are for all people. Then there's that section about Jeremiah's objections to it. Of course, we know that Jesus didn't have those, but maybe it can, you know, help us to think a little bit about how others doubted Jesus because of his humanity. You know, and not thinking that he was who he was or he could do what he could do because of his human flesh, his human nature. But we see that because of his divine nature, that Jesus is enabled to do that which God has called him to do. In other words, to be the Savior of this world. Verse 8, I am with you. We know how God was with Jesus, you know. As expressed in his baptism and in so many other places. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And of course, then Jesus is resourced for this. Not just is he given the Word of God, but Jesus is the Word of God. He's the Word of God in flesh, the Word of God having become human and living among us. You know, yeah. So you see, it's all there. And this text begins to explode for us with meaning and understanding as we see that it's not just about Jeremiah, but it is about the greatest prophet of all, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, and how he is valued and honored, and rightly so among us as well, as we worship him and we come to him. And then also the text goes on and can be applied to us as well. Jeremiah, Christ, And yes, even there is application to us as well. Because as we talked about a little bit before, this passage is about each of us, every human being. How God knows us before we are formed in our mother's womb. That he has a plan and a purpose for each of us. That he makes us specifically and forms us in our mother's womb. Just as he formed Adam at the very beginning, the first human being, lovingly and caringly out of the dust of the ground, so too he creates each and every one of us with purpose, consecrating us to serve him and appointing us as well. And this is where it becomes so frustrating for me sometimes to hear what's going on in our society, particularly about the abortion rights that are going on. You know, and it, because if we understand this passage, if we believe God's word, what it's talking about, we cannot support those kinds of things in the moving forth of the abortion issue. We just can't, because it's directly opposed to God's purposes in creating human beings with a purpose, specially preparing them. And how can we take that life? See, we just can't do that. And we have to be ready to speak into our society. For there's people who just don't understand. How can we help them to see differently and to value those lives, the lives of those children, just as God has in his purpose as he created them? For each of you today, it's important to understand that you are special, that you are uniquely created by God. Yes, even before you were knit together in your mother's womb, God knew you, and he put you together in a very special way with a special purpose. And I know you may be saying, well, I'm not sure what that purpose is. I think you do. Maybe you just got to think about it a little bit. It's because it's not that hard. Some things are hard, yes. But there are other things that are really pretty simple. You just start thinking about it in terms of your vocation, who you are. Are you a parent or a child? Right? There's a purpose God has for you. Are you a husband or wife? There's a purpose right there in life and how you fill that purpose. Are you a sibling or grandparent? And there's a place. God creates you uniquely to fill that. Nobody else can fill that spot that you're filling. You are unique. And God made you just to be able to do that, to live in those relations. Are you an employer or an employee? There's a special spot for you. You fill that spot. And how can you do that in a way that is pleasing to God? That God has created you in order to do that very thing, in order to serve other people, whatever it is that your employment does for others, or as you are interacting with other workers in that particular place. Are you a neighbor or a classmate or a friend? You know, you see, there's all kinds of positions that you have, but you are uniquely created there. Now, there's other things too, you know, maybe we're not thinking about, because our lives are constantly changing, evolving. You know, where are we going? And maybe there are other purposes that God has for us, and you're still discovering those. Particularly if you are a young person, if you're still in school, you're trying to figure that out. Where is my place in life? You know, and so we look for God's direction in those things as we try to identify our talents and our abilities and where God is calling us to serve. But even in midlife, you know, maybe there's a job change that's coming. And maybe you discern that God is moving you in a different way. Or even when you come to retirement, now what is your place? What are you doing? You know, God has plans and purposes for you. You are an important person. But how do we do those things in connection with God's calling for us? And that's what this passage is talking about. But in and through it all, hear then God's encouragement to you. I am with you always. You don't have to figure this out on your own. God is there with you. And you have been resourced with your talents and your abilities, with those who are around you, with whom you live, and with whom you play. But the greatest resource that God has given to you is that of the Word of God. I'm not saying that you're a prophet like Jeremiah. But nonetheless, God has resourced you with His Word. He's given that to you to lead you and to guide you, to shape you and to mold you, to help you figure things out. And also then to share with others, to speak with others. That's an important part. God has placed you in a particular spot that you would be able to make this world better because of where you are, who you are, and where you are. And that you're able to help others. And you bring God's word into that. Because we know that when we follow God's word, things will indeed be better. They will be running according to God's plans and purposes for this world. So today I'd like you to hear and receive that encouragement of God's word. To understand that you are indeed a very special person, uniquely created by God with a purpose in order to fulfill a particular thing that God wants done in this world, that He is with you always in order to do that, and that He resources you. So let's not say, oh Lord, I'm too young, I'm too inexperienced, I'm not smart enough, I'm not, talented enough, I can't do this. And we don't want to go down that road, because we want to take our eyes off of ourselves and off of the challenge that is in front of us and place it upon God and His encouragement and the confidence that He can give to us, because He has resourced us and gives us His promises. In Jesus' name, amen.